Dear brothers and sisters, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I love Pentecost. It's one of my favorite days in the entire church year as far as church holy days go. It's an unusual one, and it's one that, well, even those of us who have been studying it and experiencing it for years don't always understand. It's a sort of holiday that you can look at it one year and say, this is what Pentecost is about. And look at it the next year and say, no, this is what Pentecost is about. And look at it the next year and still have more and more answers as well as questions. But I love the story of Pentecost because I love what's happening. It's really absolutely beautiful. As I was talking about with the children a few minutes ago, it's the birth of the actual church. The disciples had gone around with Jesus for years, and they had seen what he was doing, and they had participated in what he was doing. They had all gone around together, and they had heard the words that Jesus himself spoke to the people, words about a God who is a God of love, and not a God of wrath, not a God of anger, not a God who looked down scornfully upon his children, but a God who wanted to be in relationship with his children. The disciples had seen this, and they had heard it, they had witnessed it and experienced it. They had gone around with Jesus, and they themselves had been part of the healing taking place, not just through the words, but the healing that they saw that came through the hands of Christ, as well as just from someone touching his robe. They had gone around with him, and they had seen how when Jesus went to a place and he saw the outcasts in society, he called them to be a part of his group. They saw that when Jesus went somewhere and someone was in need of a healing touch, when they were untouchable, Jesus would reach out his hands and touch them. The disciples had seen that when Jesus went somewhere and there was someone who was despised by all the other people in that region, Jesus would invite them in, invite them to dine with him, invite them to be a part of the community. Jesus went and he turned the whole world upside down. He went and he saw the things that we humans had put into place as far as standards, and he reversed everything, bringing those who felt disconnected into the fold, pushing down the mighty ones from their throne and lifting up the lowly. And Jesus went around with the disciples, and then Jesus showed his great love, even as he sat with one who would betray him and one who would deny him, and continued in his gift, in his language of love, by washing their feet and by breaking the bread and telling them, this is my body that I am breaking for you, and by sharing the cup of wine and saying, this is my blood that I pour out for you and for all people for forgiveness. And Jesus showed them further as he journeyed to the cross and died upon that cross. And Jesus showed them further as he rose from the grave and as he walked around with them again. And Jesus showed them further his language of love as he was ascending into heaven to be with the Father again. And he poured out upon them the Holy Spirit and he said, now you go. You go all over creation and you share this message of love. You share this message of peace. You share this message that what the world thinks is the right order is reversed. The world was in a state of chaos right then and there because the people who loved what Jesus and the disciples were doing were all for it. They thought, this is great. We're finally getting recognized. We're finally getting loved. And the people who had thought that they were putting everyone else in their place were starting to feel afraid because they had come up with these rules and they had come up with these hierarchies, and now everything was getting flipped upside down because of the love of Jesus. But as this all was happening, there were these different viewpoints, and there were these different conversations happening. The disciples knew that if they went out there and they just started proclaiming on the street corners, Jesus was the God and the Messiah and the King, and that God is love, they could be imprisoned, they could be martyred. They weren't sure what was happening. And so they gathered together on that Pentecost day. They gathered together in that room as they were discussing what to do and where to go and how to proceed in sharing this message of love. And I'm sure that they were a little bit afraid. And I'm sure that they were a little bit curious. And I'm sure that they wanted so badly to do what God was calling them and leading them to do, but they weren't sure of the rest of the world around them. And so God had this big party. God blew the Holy Spirit into that room, blessing each and every one of those apostles who were there, lighting flames of fire above their head, not that would burn them, not that would even frighten them, but in a blessing, just as the waters of baptism are washed over us, that tongue of fire was alighted over each of them who were there, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in these different languages, languages that they didn't even know, but languages that were recognized by those devout Jews who had come from all over, the ancient languages of God's people, being spoken by those who probably did not even know them, but that everyone could understand what the other was saying. A moment of God pouring out blessing on those people and giving them a language of unity and a language of love, that no more would God's people be divided, but that forevermore all of God's people would be united in love that comes through Christ. I don't have cable TV at my house, so I rely on Amazon and sometimes on Netflix as well to see what's going on. And if any of the rest of you happen to use Amazon for your television, you'll have seen the advertisements for months now about the series called Good Omens that came out just about 2 weeks ago. It's this series that's based on a book that's about 15 or 20 years old by the same title, Good Omens. And it goes through, it starts in the very, very beginning with an angel and with a demon and the conflict that the two go through. The two start off in the Garden of Eden watching what's happening as God is creating everything, as Adam and Eve are there, as the garden is created, everything is happening. And the angel is trying to do so good. The angel is a messenger who is sent by God and knows that they have to do absolutely the best thing in the best interest for creation. And so as the angel is watching over Adam and Eve, and as the angel is watching all these things that are taking place and sees that Adam and Eve are going off and adventuring and going into some territories of danger, the angel decides to give them his sword. His flaming sword as a piece of protection for them. Because as they go out and as they journey, they can use that then to ward off evil. And as the angel is giving them this sword, the angel is saying, well, I've done this, and this is so good because it'll be protecting them. But I wonder if it really was the right thing to do to give them a weapon. Because yes, they'll be protected, but it means that they could cause harm to someone or something else. And the serpent, the demon, is there as well. And the demon goes through a similar sort of conundrum, trying to figure out if he has done the right thing. And he says, well, I've done what I was sent to do. They sent me from down below to come up here and to give them temptation to go to that tree and to bite that fruit. And then they would know the difference between good and evil. And they would be afraid and they would be confused by it. But then the serpent questions his own motives and says, but I wonder if what I have done was actually good instead of evil, because wouldn't it be a good thing to know the difference between good and evil? And so you have this demon who is sent from heaven, you have this angel who is sent from heaven and this demon who is sent from hell, and the two of them begin to talk to one another to strike up this very unusual and often unholy, yes, friendship. But they come to this language where they hear each other and they wonder together and they question together and they converse together to hear what the other has to say. Polar opposites in every single way. One only wanting to do good, the other only knowing that he's supposed to be doing evil. But the two of them talk to each other and they hear what the other is saying in these different circumstances and in these different stories along the way. And they go to places together and they try to balance each other out so that the good that's happening really is good and the bad that's happening really isn't that bad. It's just things to make humanity think. And so as they go around and they journey together, they continue in this language of understanding. This language of listening, this language of hearing, this language of not always, as a matter of fact, the two of them rarely actually get to the same exact conclusion with the same exact motives, but they hear where the other is coming from, and they talk together, and they journey together, and they understand a little bit more of the other side. As I've been rereading through that book and watching that series, I couldn't help but to think it's not really a question of good versus evil or angels versus demons. It's about that internal language that we have as humans, and that language that God blessed the disciples, the apostles with 2,000 years ago, that language that God still blesses us with today. A language of love and hope and visions and prophesying. A language of dreams, a language of the Holy Spirit, a language of truth and understanding, of power and might, a language of knowledge, love, fear, and indeed a language of salvation as well. As the disciples were sent out from that room 2,000 years ago, they had this language that now united the world, that as different as every single one of us is in all of creation, we are united through love in Christ Jesus. That love that comes from God, that love that reminds us again and again that even if we have done wrong, even if we have sinned, even if we have spoken words that we didn't mean to, even if we have questioned and wondered about those differences of good and evil and what's happening in the world, God has blessed us and God has called us to go into the world, to listen to the world around us. To go into the world and instead of putting someone else down, instead of dividing the walls that we have between us higher and higher, instead of just shutting an opinion down that we don't care for or we don't understand, to open ourselves up to listen to those around us. To open ourselves up to hear the words and the thoughts and the passions of those around us. And then that same burning of the Holy Spirit within our souls to share our loves and our hopes and our visions that will all create this world to be a better place. These hopes, these dreams, these visions, these prophecies that we have been blessed with, that language that God has given to us as well, are part of what will change the world around us. When we reach out and we share these words in love and in compassion and in understanding, knowing that we too have been blessed by God, that when the waters of baptism washed over us, we too were set on fire with love burning for Jesus, that we would go into the world not to oppress, not to put down, not to divide, but to unite, to build up, to encourage, to share compassion and peace and hope and love, to encourage the dreams and hopes and visions of others throughout the world as well. And so today and every day, may we be reborn in Christ. Today and every day, may we look into this world and see love, not hatred and anger. Today and every day, may we build up ourselves and one another for the common mission that Jesus has for us, to do God's work, to do God's will, and to proclaim to all this world the language that reminds us again and again that God is love. In Jesus' name, amen.